Amen. Appreciate that. It's very much in harmony with what, as a matter of fact, really it's the same message. It's going to be in a little different way, but we're going to come to the same conclusion this morning. So I pray. But before I get into my subject, did I hear Brother Kenneth say that we should be reaching for the Bible and reading it before we reach our get for our coffee? Did you say that? Brother, that's some radical Christianity. But you know what? He's right. I mean, you're putting priorities here. I'm saying. That hit me. Now, I've almost gotten to where I don't drink coffee anymore, but I still agree with what he's saying. You know, and I don't mean to be flippant about this. I'm serious. Are we putting God first? I can answer that. A lot of times the answer is no. And we're seeing the results of it in the church today. May God have mercy upon us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And we'll back up to verse 7 so you get a better idea. 1 John chapter 4, let's begin verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. We know that. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. As I've often said, he's a whole lot more. But he is love. And in that whole lot more that he is, you'll still see the love coming through. So when we think about God is love, what does this mean? How is it seen? How do we obey? See, when you read scriptures, if there's something there for us to be more like him, to not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can be more like him, then when it says he's love, you might say, well, there's no command there. Yes, there is. If he's love, and if we're supposed to be like him, then we're supposed to be love. Now, I'm not talking about tolerance. I'm not talking about accepting everything. I'm talking about being like God. And the only way we know how to be like God is to know what his word says that he is. God is love. And so when we think about then what the scriptures tells us about God and his love for us, we find that the kind of love that God has for us is agape love. And I want to, if we're going to understand when it says God is love and the kind of love that he is, if we have to understand what agape love is, so we can lay this foundation here to get to the place where we see why we need to be like him in this regard. Agape love. That type of love is where the lover always provides the understood need. Let that sink in for a second. The lover, that's God, always provides the understood needs. Now, thankfully, we don't have to ask, how much does God understand? Because he understands everything perfectly, doesn't he? So then he understands the need perfectly and he provides it. And he's able to provide it, right? So how wonderful is that? I mean, you just ponder that for a little while and your heart will just start swelling up in thanksgiving and gratitude for one who has all power and yet he loves us to such a degree that he provides the need always because he understands it perfectly. Have you ever tried to do something to somebody and you realize you were going about it all wrong? Oh, I have. And if you'll admit it, I think you'll admit it that you've done that too. You thought that they needed something and they needed a little bit of something else. You may not have been far off, but you weren't exactly on the mark. God is always exactly right. And so as he provides the need, it is exactly what we need. I've used the illustration sometimes of a tailor-made suit. I've never had a tailor-made suit. It probably, if it's tailor-made, then it's going to fit just right, right? If it's a good tailor. All right? Well, that's the way God blesses. Always. When he provides exactly what is suited to us. That's when it comes from God. We may miss the mark. All right, so, and by the way, that definition amplifies the great difference between how we love and how God loves. Because we don't understand everything like we should. We don't know everything like he does. We don't put forth the effort. We don't have the power that he does. Sometimes we're just lazy and don't get around to doing it. You know, a lot of good intentions, aren't there? Oh, boy. You know, being in the ministry, I've heard a lot of good intentions. You have too. A lot of good intentions. You know, God doesn't have good intentions. He does good. He gets it done every time. And it's just right. We don't. So you see the great gulf between how we love and how God loves? He always provides the understood need. And that's not always a pat on the back. Sometimes it might be a pat somewhere else. Like Brother Kenneth was talking about. All right? So God's love. God is love. He always provides the need and he understands perfectly what that need is. God loved us first. You know there's a reason for that. Because man by nature, since the fall of Adam, man by nature would not seek after God. He's altogether become vanity. Okay? Unprofitable before God. Until God reaches down to where we are. He reaches as far down as he needs to where we are. Lifts us up. We love him because he first loved us. Can you tell me where that is in the Bible? 1 John 4:19. Don't forget that. We love him because he first loved us. That's one of your best proof texts for the depravity of man. We love him because. If you ever find somebody that loves God, I don't care how messed up their theology might be, bless your heart, if they love God, if they sincerely have a love for God, it's because God has already touched and tendered their heart. People have grown up and for generations they've been in a system that has taught them things other than the truth of God's word. And when they hear the truth of God's word, they think you've fallen off of another planet or something. Because that's all they've ever heard. But truth is truth. And we're supposed to speak the truth in love. How did God speak the truth to us? How did he show the greatest expression of love to us? I'm glad he didn't give us the Ten Commandments and say, keep them or die. God so loved the world. We understand he's talking about his people. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Got that? He took the initiative and gave. And what did he give? Did he give us something we didn't need? Did he give us something and just dangle it before us and say, you can have it if you want it? How did he give it? He gave exactly what we needed, and he gave it to us everlastingly, and it's ours. We may not have any sense enough to accept it, but it's ours if he gives it. Bless your hearts. When you think of God's love and how he loves us, how much he loves us, how long has he loved us? He loved us before we even had our being. Right? Nevertheless, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this sealed, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That was spoken 2,000 years ago. Many of God's people hadn't even been born yet. I'm satisfied, since Jesus hadn't come back yet, there's probably some of his people that still haven't been born into this world. But he knoweth them that are his. He already knows them. He's known them before the foundation of the world, when they were chosen in Christ, when God set his affection upon them before the foundation of the world. Bless your hearts, he loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us with an unconditional love. All of those things are taught in the scriptures of what the love of God is all about, and he is love. He loved us first. 1 John 4, you were there in verse 8. Look at verse 10. I could get 9, that's good, but verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what he did. That's how God has shown us his love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then he goes on to say, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Well, preacher, how should we do that? How are we supposed to love one another? Like he loves us. Oh, I can't do that. Well, we can try, can't we? We can grow in our understanding, can't we? We can grow in our ability to be more like him. Now, I realize that we're never going to eradicate this old sin nature. You know, we're going to have these fleshly tendencies, but the Word of God teaches us how to deal with that. And when we come short, it teaches us how we could go to him and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because he still loves us. He loved us for the sake of his son. When he gave his son to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins and washed us pure, justified us, just if I'd never sinned. That's what we have through Christ. And it's for Jesus' sake that he still loves us. He knew what we were. He knew what we would continue to be. And he still loves us. Isn't that wonderful? So he loved us first. And we're told that we're to love him. Okay? We're also to love one another. I've already covered some of those verses. All right? Now just think about it. In heaven, God is surrounded. I mean, he is love, but he's also surrounded with love and praise and adoration. Think about that. You know, I realize perhaps we have variations in our picture of what heaven is like. But just imagine for just a moment the throne of God. I mean, the most holy thought that you can ever have is God upon his throne. Jesus at his side. The one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us, who washed us from our sins in his own blood, who's coming back to gather up everyone for whom he died. Well, if they're in the grave, he's going to call them forth by his power. If they're still alive and remain, he's going to change us and fashion us like unto his glorious body. But he's going to take everyone that he loved before the foundation of the world. He's going to gather us up. He's going to take us home to be with him. We're going to be with him forever in love. And all the sufferings and the sorrows and the heartaches and the temptations and the mistakes and the problems of this world will stay here. And guess what? It's going to burn up. That's what the love of God has done for us. That's what the love of God continues to do for us. And the more we focus on his love for us, the more motivated we are to reflect that love to others. And that's our job, to be faithful to Jesus. Is to take what he's done for us and share it. Isn't that what the Lord told that wild Gadarene? The one that was just dwelt among the tombs, and they tried to chain him with chains, and he would just pluck them asunder with his fingers, and he was just a wild man, possessed of demons. But when the Lord dealt with him, then they saw him clothed and seated and in his right. Look at the radical change. I'll tell you something. The love of God ought to change us. Not to be like the world, but to be more like him. And he is love. Now again, the love of God is an extremely vast subject. The love of God is manifested in lots of ways. It even involves God's chastening of his children when they go out of the way. But he does it in love. And I'm going to tell you as a parent, in any time that you have to deal with your children and discipline them and chasten them because you love them, they should always know that you still love them. It should always be done in such a way that you show them you still love them. You may not going to tolerate some behavior, but you still love them. Isn't that the way God does for us? He sure dealt with me a few times. The longer I live, he'll probably deal with me a few more times. You know, I'm just that prone. And I'm not saying anything other than what we all deal with. If we're honest about the situation. God is love. He loved us first. We love him. We're supposed to love one another. When you think about that throne. And I know that no man can look upon God and live. He even told Moses that. As faithful a man, you know, Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses, oh man, he was a giant as far as being a leader of God's people. And what made him so much of a giant is how much he trusted God to know what to do. He wasn't, you know, he spent the first 40 years learning, being trained up in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he learned that he was something. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. He may have been the next Pharaoh if he'd have stayed there. I don't know. But then the next 40 years, when he had to flee to the backside of the desert, he spent some time learning that he was nothing. And that last 40 years as leading the children of Israel, he learned that God is everything. I hope we've gotten to that place in our lives. We don't have to be 80 years old to be to the place where we can learn that he is everything. Everything. That's why
all that we do should be done to him, because he's in the forefront of our mind. We have that presence of mind that whatever we're doing, we want it to honor God. We're doing it to him if we do that. All right? He's everything. God is surrounded by love. All the problems, the heartaches of this world will be over when we're blessed to be in heaven's pure world. But we're not there yet. As far as I can tell, everybody here is still breathing. We're not there yet. We're here. We still got some life to live. Let's live it as if we thought it was our last. Let's live it with the understanding of God is love. He's shown that love to us, and he expects us to show that love to others. All right? In wisdom, understanding who he is and what he is, understanding what his word teaches us to do, but there are plenty of ways for us to show the love of God in our lives. Right? Okay. So how many times, you don't have to give me a number, but just think about in your own mind, how many times over the last week have you intentionally took the time to show something to someone that constitutes it came out of a loving heart? Because you love God and you wanted to do something for somebody else. If we're too busy to think about those kind of things, we're too busy. Because every footstep, every thought we ought to make, we should carry the Lord, as you've already heard, we should carry the Lord with us. And ask for his help and his strength in doing the things that we do. And if you don't feel good about asking him for the strength to do what you're about to do, you might better leave it off. God is, he loves us so much, and he provides what we need, and it pleases God to help us. It does. But he's not going to help us to do, I had an uncle, I didn't know him very well, but he was well known for saying, God don't love ugly. He's not going to bless ugly. And you got the Spirit of God in you to help you to know what the difference is. But he's pleased to reward us when we diligently seek him, when we ask for his help, when we know that we're weak and we need his strength. He is pleased to provide the need, because he perfectly understands what that is at all times, always has, always will, and he's always able to supply that need. So, now, I need to close up. To the extent that the saints of God. Now, maybe I better ask you, are you one of the saints of God? Well, preacher, I don't feel too much like a saint. Well, I understand that. I'm right there with you. But this word tells me that if Jesus died for me, if I have the love of God in my heart, I am sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That makes me a saint, because the word saint is a shortened version of the word sanctified or sanctification. We are saints if he died for us. We're not, the world's idea of a saint is if you do everything right. And that's not exactly what the Bible says. If Jesus died for us, we're a saint. Now we need to live like it. And live up to that expectation of what a saint is. You see, God has saved us. His love sent his son to this world to die in our room instead, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. That's how much he loves us. No matter where we are, no matter what we've done, if we're one of his love is upon us. He has loved us before the foundation of the world. He will love us after this world melts with fervent heat. I think I mentioned this not long ago. It dawned on me just how precise the Word of God is. You know, I have a tendency I've had in the past. I hope I'll do better in the future. I've had the tendency to say, someday this world's going to burn up. I may have already said it today. But that's not exactly what the Scripture says. The Scripture says it's going to melt with fervent heat. Now, there's a lot of things you can put fire to and it won't burn. But you put enough heat to it, it'll melt. The hardest metals in this world, will melt with enough heat. And there's plenty of heat available. Those stars all around us, you just split one atom. You know, that takes a little effort to do. But if you just split one atom, you see what kind of heat happens. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And the Word of God says, it didn't say it's going to burn up. It says it's going to melt with fervent heat. God's word still remains. His love still remains upon us. So when we think about how perfectly he loves us, if God's people, if the saints of God would obey the Scriptures, if the saints of God would pay attention to the priority that we're supposed to set and love one another, and obey the Word of God, and abide in Him. You remember John 15? Abide in me, and I in you. The Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If we would major on that, it would help us a whole lot in all these other areas of our life. Because that's the bottom line. God's love, it's not that we got to talk about love all the time, but I'm saying to you, it truly is the heart of the matter. Where's our heart? We see where God's heart was. It was on us to send His Son to save us from our sins. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So it'll always be there. He may not always love what we do, but He always loves us. And if we turn to Him, and what I'm getting to here, trying to do this very quickly here, the fabric of humility is love and obedience and continuing in it. Do you know every time you obey God, you're expressing humility? Because when you choose to obey God, you are subjecting yourself to His word, His way. And so part of the fabric of humility is obedience to the word of God, is loving God and continuing in His love. See, His love continues with us. We don't, in our mind, we can take trips far away from God. That's why we need to guard our heart, so that we can stay close to the Lord. He's always there for us. But that fabric of humility is made up of love and obedience to the Word of God. That's what makes us humble. You know, I was thinking about this week. People that I have known and still know, when I think about humility, I can't think of a single person that I ever thought was a very truly humble person that didn't do a lot of obeying God. They lived their life in a way that they obeyed God. And as a result of that, they truly were humble. Humility is not something you can just put on like a Sunday suit. Humility comes from loving God and obeying God and following in His way. That's the fabric of humility. God is love. We need to be more like Him, don't we? And we do that there'd be more. How much more humility? How much more forgiveness? How much more love? How much more charity? Putting that love into action. How much more of that would we have if we truly concentrated and focused on the fact that God is love and we need to be more like Him? See why I said it's the same message that Brother Kenneth brought, just in a little different way. Same diamond, we just turned it a little bit and saw the light coming in from a little different direction. Same beauty, same substance, same God, same love that we need to emulate. Now, God is love. And if we have a better idea of what kind of love we're talking about and how much love and how great that love is, and He's love, and then we're told that we're to be more like Christ, who is God, then as we live our life and as we obey God and as we show the love that God has shown to us, if we're truly, authentically, sincerely showing that love, wouldn't others see us as more godly? You see, we reflect something in our life. We reflect, and if we're viewed as religious, we reflect the kind of God that we believe in. You know, that's very evident. We reflect the kind of God we believe in. Well, is it the God of the Bible? Is our reflection of God's love like His love? Is it truth? Is it sincere? The point I'm driving at, if God is love and we're to be more like Him, then the love that we reflect to the world needs to be godly love in all the aspects of what the Word teaches us that godly love really and truly is. If that's the case, and if the love that we're reflecting to the world reminds us of God, then He's glorified. Because He's only glorified with truth. Some people call that a testimony. Us Primitive Baptists like to stay away from words like that. Sounds like them other folks. That's what it is. Our testimony. What is our testimony? Are we showing a godly love? Or have we come up with our own version of who we want to show it to and how we want to show it and what parts of it we like and what parts of it we've discarded? God is love. We need to be more like God. How are we doing? Can we improve? Will we improve? Let's see it. May God bless you, Zachary.